Secular Yakking, episode 71, Kansas again, October 19th, 2016.
Exploring the intersection of politics, science, culture, and history from a secular perspective, it's Secular Yakking with Robert and Tom, the dynamic duo of obscure secular media.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We've had a wonderful 2 weeks off this time, I think. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, sorry about that. That happens.
It was for a good reason.
It was, and we'll get into that here shortly. Mm-hmm. In case you didn't hear him, Tom is with us. Say hello, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Thank you. And then we also have Carrie.
Hi.
So, there's Carrie. Like I said, we've been off for 2 weeks, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But first, we have to do our Twitter followers.
Yeah.
So, we have Matthew O'Neill.
And we have some familiar faces in the Twitter followers.
Yeah, we do.
So, for those who don't know, I'm going to jump in here on this first one. Sorry to interrupt.
Not a problem.
Matthew O'Neill, for those who don't know, I write for the blog Danthropology and the Pathos Network, and Matthew is a fellow blogger on there with me.
Well, that's really cool.
And he is also an author of a couple books, and his most recent book was on the historicity of Adam and Eve. And I wrote the foreword to it.
Oh, that's cool. We'll have to put the links to that in the show notes.
Yes. So go and pick that up and help Matthew pay his bills.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, I don't get a cut of that.
Darn.
So it all goes to Matthew.
All right. Next, we have Trumpageddon, trademark.
Nice.
Blue Science, or Blue Streak Science, EP Select Realty, Roger Statton, Fame Sounds, Brand, Biskeptical Podcast, which is Trav Mamone and Morgan Stringer, I believe. John Fia, you might want to say something about that one, Tom.
Yeah, John Fia is a historian who works for Messiah College, and he's one of my favorite historians. He's got a great history podcast and blog site called The Way of Improvement, and he also wrote a really, really great book called Was America Founded as a Christian Nation? And I highly recommend it to pretty much anybody who can read.
Yeah, you did that about a month and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah, it was one of my books of the week.
Yeah.
And I cannot recommend it enough. John Fia is a brilliant historian and also just a really great, entertaining writer. So
cool. Then we also have Brennan Enterprises, Jamea Music, and Love Music 7655.
I have a feeling some of these are bots.
Most likely.
Probably.
That's fine. I'll take bots. They increase my numbers.
Matthew's probably a bot.
All right. Stories.
So Robert and I were up at California Free Thought Day in Sacramento.
That would be down in Sacramento for me.
Oh, down in Sacramento for Robert, up in Sacramento for me.
Yes.
I'm in San Diego. And it was we had quite a good time up there. It was the first time Robert and I had ever met in person.
Right.
So I feel like I should like apologize again to Robert.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah. You had a good time.
I did. It was fun.
Yeah. So we networked quite a bit. We were up there for the original model project.
Right.
We were tabling, but we were also kind of mingling with, Aaron Ra and who accidentally ended up celebrating his birthday with us.
Yes, in our room, which was awesome.
In our room. Yeah. David Silverman, yeah. Shelly, how do you pronounce her last
name? Siegel.
Is it Siegel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shelly Siegel, Dan Errol.
Yeah.
We'll talk about him here in a little bit, but he writes for the blog. He's my boss over at Danthropology.
Right.
God, who else was there? Steve Hill.
Steve Hill came in to see us, yeah.
Yeah, of course, my good friend Lucian Greaves from the Satanic Temple.
Yes, yes.
And Kara was Kara there. I don't know if Kara wants her last name used, so I'm not going to use
that's
it.
That's fine. And that girl running for city councilor in Chico, Mercedes. She came
Mercedes. Yeah, Mercedes. Yeah. So we had, they found out we had a suite. Well, Dan found out we had a suite.
Yeah, I wonder who told him.
Yeah, I told Dan.
Okay.
It's my fault. There was an open bar, okay? I can't be held responsible for the things that happened. And so Dan messaged me over and said, hey, we heard you got a suite. And so we all went up there, and that was a lot of fun.
It was.
A lot of cool people, and it was a blast.
Yeah, it was. It was a great time. First time I've been to a major conference where I wasn't working. I mean, directly working.
Right.
So I didn't have time to do stuff. So I got to actually hang out with people this time. It was cool.
Yeah. And you met we met all kinds of fun people.
I did. Met all
David kinds. David Silverman is an interesting character in real life.
Yes, he is. He is very interesting. You can say what you want about him. He's a really nice guy, though.
He is a really nice guy. I had a lot of fun with him. And he's, for being a quote-unquote atheist celebrity, he's very down-to-earth, cool
yeah.
guy. So.
Yeah. And Aaron, well, he's got some stories. If you ever get a chance to hang out with him, just ask for stories. He's got them.
Oh, yeah. Ask Aaron Rawford. If you ever get the chance, do it.
Yeah.
Because that man is hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a great time.
Yeah. Oh, do you have something, Carrie?
Well, I do.
Okay.
So, today I took PSAT tests. They're like a pre-college kind of test to where just to get to know what you are.
Yeah.
So, so I took it today, and we had like this like kind of personal information part of it.
The demographics part,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the first thing that we did was to put down whether we had a religion that was listed or not. And there was a whole bunch of them, but there was one that said, I prefer not to say, or there was other. The rest was, there was no atheist ones or humanistic ones, none of that, or free thinkers, nothing.
Well, that's very disturbing.
Yeah, and I was just like, what? What?
So you just had to pick other or none?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, other or none. Well, that's the problem.
There wasn't even none.
There's not a none.
There's I'd prefer not to say or other. And I was like, what is this?
That skews the numbers quite a bit.
Yeah. And there was like, there was a whole bunch of church ones. I can't remember exactly. But there was like the first word were church. And it was like,
Church of Christ.
Yeah, something
yeah,
like
stuff
that.
Like that.
And I was just like, there's so many. There was like a whole bunch. There was like probably like 30 or 25. And there was like nothing for free thinkers or anyone like that. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah. So
that's America.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
So the question really is, why are they asking religion on the PSAT?
That too. I was like, why does this matter?
Is that really important?
No.
Are you graded?
No. That shouldn't matter. Like, why? Like, I was like, why does this have to like be on here? I don't. It shouldn't matter. What is this?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's an odd question.
Like, I was going to ask him, why do I need to answer this? But then I was like, I need to actually get done or else I won't. But, yeah, because I'll probably get angry and not want to do the test. And I didn't want to do the test anyway, but I have to. So.
We should hunt down and look for a reason why that's on there.
We should. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, that's such a weird question for a test. It'd be like if you went in for a math exam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, it was like, yeah, like that makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's really weird. We'll look it up. And if we find something, we'll update Facebook page or something.
Yeah. And the only thing
next week.
Yeah. The only thing that I was happy about on the test that like made me somewhat happy about doing it was, they had a space, portion on a reading section, and it had facts about space. I'm like, yes, it was awesome.
Nailed it.
Yeah, there
it's
you
like,
go.
All right, you're good for right now.
All right, cool. Well, great stories. Wonderful.
Yep.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Senator Bernie Sanders. I know you're all disappointed that I didn't get the Democratic Party nomination. I mean, can you imagine me debating Trump? He wouldn't have an iceberg's chance in hell of winning the presidency. Anyway, I don't want you to give up hope, though, because the revolution continues with the Bi-Skeptical Podcast. Every 2 weeks, two bisexual atheists, Trav Mamone from the By Any Means Podcast and Morgan Stringer from No Religion Required, get together to discuss politics, religion, and current events from a skeptical point of view. If you're still feeling the burn, you can find the Bi-Skeptical Podcast on Spreaker, iTunes, and Stitcher. Because no matter what happens in November, the revolution will always be bigger than Donald Trump's hands.
So, I wanted to introduce a new segment, and this is going to be our Ingersoll quote of the week. For those of you that don't know, Robert Greene Ingersoll was the great orator of the 19th century, also known as the great agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the greatest speakers in recent history. He was so good, Mark Twain looked up to him and enjoyed going to see him.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I thought I would start bringing him into our podcast so that people can get to know him. So I'm going to let Carrie read his wonderful quotes.
Yeah. All right. So he says, "I would defend the freedom of speech. And why? Because no attack can be answered by force. No argument can be refuted by a blow or by imprisonment or by fine. You may imprison the man, but to argue, but the argument is free. You may fell the man to the earth, but the statement stands."
And that's part of why. Yeah, I still don't have a clap.
I know. It's okay. I like it when we do it.
So, and that's part of why he's so great. This is just a tiny, tiny sampling of the stuff he's written.
Yeah, he's got many.
Yeah. I mean, just reams and reams of stuff from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And interesting, I actually have... Just before the show, Robert was explaining to me who he is, because I've never heard of him before. So I think his next week will be Secular Yak, or Secular Yakking. It's always Secular Yakking. We'll be Yak from the Past. We don't have it this week because life. And so I'm going to do something on Robert Ingersoll.
Cool.
A little history bio of him. That'll be fun.
Very cool. And I think in a couple weeks, maybe middle of November, we might have my friend Travis Simmons on, who is a Robert Greene Ingersoll expert.
Mm.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to news stories.
Mm.
Yep. We're going to Kansas.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to stay there for a bit.
No place like home.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Good one. Good.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he has sound effects.
Yeah, he found it.
Yeah, I did.
No. Okay. All right, so we're in Kansas. You go for it.
All right. Three Christian crusaders in Kansas were just arrested for plotting a terrorist attack in an apartment complex in Garden City, Kansas, that has a mosque and many Muslim immigrants from Somalia. The trio, Curtis Allen, Gavin Wright, and Patrick Eugene Stein, face federal charges of conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction. And from the DOJ announcement...
Yes, and that's my cue. So this is the DOJ. The men conducted surveillance to identify potential targets, stockpiled firearms, ammunition, and explosive components, and plan to issue a manifesto in conjunction with the planned bombing. The attack, the defendant said, would be intended to, quote, wake people up. After considering possible targets, the defendants decided to conduct the attack on a Garden City, Kansas apartment complex, like Robert just said. The house is a mosque and a large number of members of the Somali community. They discussed obtaining four vehicles, filling them with explosives, and parking them at the four corners of the apartment complex to create a large explosion. If convicted, the defendants face a maximum sentence of life in federal prison.
Now, there's something interesting there.
Yeah.
That we have homegrown terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Christian terrorists,
not just,
right.
You know, I like the term religious terrorist, but that's fine.
Yeah.
We can go pretty detailed in this one because they're literally Christian terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, I don't like the term Islamophobia because it doesn't apply here. They're not afraid of them. They literally hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that term for that.
I don't know. If I knew Greek better, I could invent one.
Yeah. Sorry. But that's part of the problem. They were willing to kill, I don't know, a couple hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
Plus whoever else just happens to be in the
right.
apartment complex.
Right.
I thought they were better than the Muslims.
Mm.
If you think about it.
Gotta love religious wars.
Yeah, and that's basically what's going on here. I mean,
yeah,
it's frustrating.
And you said that Stein, one of the Christian crusaders, you said he was up in Washington or something?
I don't think I said that.
Oh, maybe I was misunderstood.
I might have said something else.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, but he had hoped this would be a call for other militia groups.
Huh.
He stated something. You want to read it?
Yeah, so Stein stated, do you want me to include all the foul language?
Yeah, I'll bleep it
out. That's why you want me to do it. So yeah. Stein stated in June, the only f***ing way this country's ever going to get turned around is it will be a bloodbath and it will be a nasty, messy motherfucker.
There you go.
Well, doesn't that just tell you who he
is? And this comes from our loving Kansas bred Christians.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he's a Trump supporter too.
Oh, yeah.
More than likely.
This is very white nativism.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it's very reminiscent of.
Oh, yeah. This is very much like the pre-Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because they would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they wouldn't have used trucks, though.
They would have filled the wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'd have been attacking Catholics.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, what a group. At least they caught them. That's a good thing.
Yeah, they did catch them. It was actually, from what I read, it was a really good sting. They kept drawing them out. And they had actually gotten them the firing mechanisms, and they had tested everything out, and they were like one or two steps away from setting off a bomb.
Oh, that's terrifying.
But they, you know, they don't let them actually set off a bomb.
Right, no,
They were buying the stuff from an FBI informant.
Huh.
So it worked out.
Yeah.
Well, they'd been tracking them for months and months on this. So the FBI informant, of course, was sent there by the FBI.
Right.
Well, thank Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ave Satanas.
So that's good. At least they caught them and there wasn't a disgusting bloodbath.
Yeah. Because that would have been horrible.
And I hope, I'm not a fan of the death penalty, but I'm just saying. Mm. Like,
well, they didn't kill anybody, so they don't get the death penalty, but.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's frustrating.
It is.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Speaking of death penalty people.
I don't even know where you're going with that.
I don't know. That was my lame segue into the Newt Gingrich story.
Yeah, that's close enough to a death penalty listening to him.
Yeah.
Which we'll probably inflict on everybody.
All right. So former House Speaker and failed presidential contender Newt Gingrich was speaking in front of the, quote, this is such a hilarious, Strong Seniors Making America Great Again Coalition, or SMAGAC.
SMAGAC.
A national coalition of 50-plus aged Americans, American citizens, working in their respective states to elect Trump and Pence. And there, Newt claimed that any Supreme Court would become, quote, radically anti-religious and anti-Christian if Clinton became president, by picking judges who, quote, do not believe in the right of religious liberty, people who believe that the government should define what you're allowed to say, even in church. And we have some audio of the Newtster.
Right.
I believe I've called them that before on the show.
Nice. Probably.
The Newtster.
Just spend a couple of minutes sharing with all of you how enormous the decision about the Supreme Court is going to be. One of the things we're learning from the WikiLeaks, looking at emails from inside the Clinton campaign, is how radically anti-religious, how radically anti-Christian many of their senior people are, just based on what they wrote in their emails. And when you think about people like that picking the Supreme Court, not just the current vacancy caused by the tragic death of Justice Scalia, but the possibility over the next 4 years of three or four more seats coming open. We're not talking about 4 years in the presidency. We're talking about maybe shaping the court, if they pick young people, for the next 30 or 40 years. And what do we know that would mean? Well, if you look ideologically at how they are evolving, that means you would have people who do not believe in the right of religious liberty, people who believe that the government should define what you're allowed to say, even in church. And by the way, there's an organization in Massachusetts now, a government commission on transgender rights, which is looking at potentially defining for churches what kind of pronouns they can use, raising the specter, for example, of eliminating Our Father from the Lord's Prayer, because after all, that's a particular pronoun. This stuff, in my judgment, is madness. But nonetheless, these are people who are dedicated, fanatics who want to impose a secular America on the rest of us and who are willing to use the government to do it. It's also very clear that the Supreme Court, under a Clinton series of appointments, would almost certainly eliminate the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And I think that has just enormous implications for our personal freedoms.
All right. There's a whole lot in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest.
Well,
there.
First off, the sound quality is not my fault. that's how it was recorded because he was on a conference call. It came in kind of weird.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I did what
not
I could.
Not our fault, people.
Yes. The first thing I want to address is this quote right here. There's an organization in Massachusetts now, a government commission on transgender rights, that's looking at potentially defining for churches what kinds of pronouns they could use. Raising the specter, for example, of eliminating Our Father from the Lord's Prayer, because after all, that's a particular pronoun. Mm. So I decided to find out what the hell he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
He's referring to a Massachusetts law that says refusing to use a person's preferred pronoun is punishable discrimination for businesses and employment.
Hmm. So are they going to ask the Lord what his preferred pronoun is?
That was one of my things. Yeah. What is his preferred pronoun? And that's the big kicker here,
yeah.
Right? So this is designed for employment, but it's applicable at any secular event held at a church, anything where public's invited, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to use someone's preferred pronoun if it's known.
Right.
Right? If they don't say, then you kind of have to guess.
Yeah.
Or you could ask. That would be a good
idea. So that would apply, like they did like a church chili cook-off?
Yes, exactly. That's what it's there for. It's not for regular church service. Right?
Mm.
It's there for public gatherings, say bingo, like you said, chili cook-offs, you know, charity fundraisers that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It only applies to that, not what they say in their prayers.
Mm.
I don't know. My initial reaction to that, well, I think that it's a good thing to have protection against discrimination, employment, housing, and so forth. I don't know. At first, my gut reaction is actually that might actually be a bit too far.
Yeah,
I'm willing to be wrong.
Yeah, there's an iffy situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you know someone's personal pronoun, especially in employment, you should use it, because then it becomes a hostile environment if you don't.
Right.
Right. If it really would force a private organization like a church that was doing a community outreach, something or other, do that, even if violated their religious beliefs, which, granted, the religious beliefs are bullshit.
Right.
But even if it did, I don't know. I feel like if that is the case, and we'd have to look into that to see if that's the case, because that seems like a huge First Amendment issue.
Yeah, I think something like that would be taken on a case-by-case basis. But my issue is he's going on that super slippery slope, saying that they would have to rewrite the Lord's Prayer because it's a particular
pronoun. Well,
that's just
hyperbole. Right. That's just hyperbole, because Newt Gingrich is an idiot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know, but depending on the law, like I said, I don't know anything about the law. This is actually the first I'm hearing of that. But the way you're describing it, I have really super mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I did too, because mm-hmm. you know, I want to respect people's personal pronouns, but I also don't want to infringe on the religious beliefs of others. It gets really, really sticky in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting, I mean, this might be a bit of a tangent, but it somewhat applies to freedom of speech and freedom of thought. My day job, I work at a school, and across the street from the school is a Trump supporter, and his house is just covered in Trump paraphernalia. And he has a huge banner that says, Trump 2016, no more bullshit. That's what the banner says.
Right.
And we were getting parent complaints about this, and they want us to call the police and do something about this banner. And while I think it's disgusting and deplorable and just not couth in general,
right.
He has the right to do that.
Yeah.
In political speech. And so, you know, that's kind of what I told people. I was like, well, you want him to be forced to take down, do whatever, because you don't like it. You know, and I kind of feel like if that Massachusetts law, if it is what it sounds like, that it might be a bit of a bridge too far.
It may well be. I'd have to do a lot more reading into it. I just did a cursory reading on it this afternoon.
It's at some point, you are policing people's thoughts.
Yes, you are. You're skirting that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a difference between, employment in a public, if you are a business and you offer employment to the public, you have to do it without discriminating.
Right.
But if you're a private organization doing a private event, but they're still going to police this side or the other about you, I'm not cool with that in any way, shape, or form, unless they're using public funds.
Yeah, then it becomes really different.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's an interesting one. Also, Newt Gingrich is full of shit. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And then there was he was talking about the word secular.
Yeah, so that was my next point.
Yeah, so he says they want to impose a secular America, which, first of all, America is already pretty secular.
Yeah,
as
technically we are a secular constitutional republic. So yes,
yeah. It's already pretty secular country.
Yeah,
as it is, and so. Of course, what I think Newt really means there is atheist.
Yes.
And we have a bit of a story about that because we actually encountered that this weekend.
We did.
In Sacramento with David Silverman, president of American Atheists. And he is very adamant about using the word atheist instead of the word secular.
Atheist instead of the word anything, really. Any of the descriptors of atheist people, right? So humanist, free thinker, bright, whatever, he would prefer that instead of us using those terms that he wants us to use atheist.
Right, because I think his point is to take the stigma away from it.
Right, and I certainly agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
I also have issues with it.
Yeah, I'll let you, what are your issues?
So,
I'll chime in.
So atheist is a single answer to a single question. Mm-hmm. It's on the question of, is there a God, right? And that's really it. You can't really put any other qualifiers to that.
Yep.
Right? So when somebody asks me, do you believe in God? No, I'm an atheist. But if you ask me, what is my religion? I'm a humanist. Right?
Yeah.
If you ask me, what's my political stance? Right? I can't very well say I'm an atheist politically.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there are people who use the word atheist as a personal identity statement.
Right.
In the same way someone would use the word Christian or the word Muslim.
Yeah, I get mm-hmm. that.
But, and I think when a lot of people, especially in the atheist movement, when they say secular, they mean atheist. I mean, we were at, Free Thought Day.
Yeah.
Put on by the Secular Coalition for California. There weren't a whole lot of religious people there.
No. And there were, I pretty much would guarantee 99% of them were atheist.
Yes. So I see Silverman's point. But I don't know. You think that would help? You think that would help? That's my question. You think it would help?
I think it would actually help with the word atheist, right? It would, mm-hmm. it would normalize the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he makes a good point that, 90% of the people know what the word atheist means, but they also don't know what atheists are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a huge difference there.
Yeah. And I think the point that I think David Silverman misses, and the point that Newt Gingrich is definitely missing,
mm-hmm.
is that the word secular does not equal atheist.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so you have secular religious people.
Right. So when my usage of the word secular is specifically not religious,
mm-hmm.
right? So you could have a secular theist who believes in God, but lives without religion. Right, without the trappings and the dogma and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or doesn't believe that the government should impose. Secular government
right.
isn't necessarily an atheist government. A secular
right.
government is a government that's neutral. Their goal isn't to push one religious philosophy over another.
Right, yeah. Which is why I push for a secular government.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I say that a lot.
So, yeah, and there are plenty of secular-minded religious people. A good friend of mine, Sarah, is secular-minded Christian. And so... I think it's important to make that distinction, but I also understand, like I said, I understand Silverman's point.
Yeah.
I didn't really agree. I'm not going to get too far down the rabbit hole with this one, but he was asked a question because the Satanic Temple was there.
Yeah.
I don't make it a secret that I'm a member of the Satanic Temple and I identify as a Satanist. I don't make that a secret. And he was asked a question about, and actually I walked in, I think it was in the bathroom. I walked in halfway through the question, so maybe you can describe the question a little better.
So the question was, how should a Satanist identify, since the Satanic Temple is an a roughly atheist situation, right? So,
right.
They don't believe in a literal Satan, and I think we've gone into this on the show even before you showed up. So and she was asking, you know, how should we identify?
Right, or something about how can we help while still identifying as we do?
Right, right. That way they don't lose their self identity.
Yeah, and he really wanted us to really specify that it was atheistic Satanism and emphasize the atheism part. And he also mentioned that there's no such thing as a non-theistic religion.
That's not true.
Which, like I said, David Sermon's fun guy to hang out with. I like him, but he's just 100% wrong. And as a Satanist who identifies with that culture, I can tell you that me and plenty of my friends would definitely disagree with Mr. Silverman there.
And so would a couple hundred million Buddhists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably quite a few humanists.
Yes. So,
and I think the mistake there is not letting us define ourselves on our own terms.
I agree.
And so I don't think there's any reason to emphasize the atheistic portion of atheistic Satanism, because that's kind of like specifying that you're a theistic Christian. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to do.
Correct.
You know, there's much more to Satanism than the fact that it's atheistic. But I'm not going to get too far in that rabbit hole because...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. That was like a huge digression. So we've established that Newt Gingrich is an idiot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where are we at now? Oh, man. We got so far off track.
Yeah, I know. We got way off of Newt.
But that's why it's called secular yakking, because sometimes we just kind of talk.
Yep.
That's what it's here for.
But so the last thing we're going to do, I used to do Book of the Week before I did Yak from the Past or Yak to the Past.
Yeah.
Whatever the name of that is.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm the host or anything. I don't need to know those things. And we're going to break it up. I love to read. Robert is a reader. I'm sure Carrie reads things sometimes.
Yep.
I've seen her pick up a book.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Door stops.
We're going to talk about our Book of the Week separately.
Yeah.
And the Book of the Week this week is The Secular Activist by my friend Dan Errol. I'm not above plugging my friend's work. And Robert's actually read it or listened to it on audiobook.
I listened to an audiobook because, as most people know, I have an hour-long drive to work, and I don't have time to read anymore. So
mm-hmm.
I listen.
So what's the general concept?
So the general concept, there's two – I see this book as two parts. Part one is Dan talking about how he came to be a secular activist working through the Ken Ham issue with the Art Park and all that stuff. That's really good fun to read. It tells me a lot about the inner workings of both Dan and the Art Park. It was great.
And for those who don't know, Dan really got his, you know, big break start because he wrote a blog post about why Bill Nye should not debate Ken Ham.
Right.
And the Richard Dawkins Foundation picked that up, and that's kind of what kickstarted Dan's whole deal.
And that's in there too. So it's kind of like a start to current day of Dan's secular activist history,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. Yeah. I like reading that kind of stuff or listening to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the book is how you can be a better secular activist, which I really wanted to see. It's got a lot of great advice in there about using social media, playing to your strengths, you know, finding out what you like and what you can do,
mm-hmm.
And then encouragement on how to do it. It gave me a lot of info on what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. Because I've been doing secular activism for a couple of years now, and I'm still kind of fumbling my way through it. And I think Dan's book really helped me flesh out some of those little details that I was missing.
Yeah, and for those who, you know, if you're not familiar with Dan or, you know, he has Googled him, look him up on YouTube. Dan's actually really, really smart guy.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from him. And so I highly recommend looking into his work. Pick up his book. He also has another book called Parenting Without God, which I have to mention this every couple of weeks, that he promised me a free signed copy and I still haven't got it. Even though we live in the same city. And I did get a sign. I bought Secular Activists up at Free Thought Day, and so that Dan couldn't say I've never done anything for him. And I asked him to sign it, but to write something hateful in there.
And he did.
And he did. He wrote, Thomas, you are the worst writer I've ever worked with. So, thank you, Dan. The feeling is mutual. Well, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, that's cool. We will put the link to Dan's book in the show notes.
And also to Matthew's book.
And to Matthew's book. Let me write that down before I forget.
Yes. Eventually I'll have my book out, right?
Yep.
And we will shamelessly plug it. And on that note, I think it's time to sign off. I actually have a date here in a little bit, so.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So, cool like that. Contact info?
Well, of course, you can find me on Twitter at TC Essel, E-S-S-E-L, that's how you spell my last name. Shoot me an email, tom@secularyacking.com. You can find me on Facebook. I also have a Patreon if you want to donate and help me pay bills.
Cool.
Feel free. We should put a link to my Patreon also.
Probably put a link to our Patreon.
Or, yeah, oh yeah, maybe, I guess, whatever.
I could put both. People can just give to both. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Carrie, how do I get a hold of you?
So, my Twitter is KRNightmares, and you can email me at,
Carrie.
Your name.
Okay, Carrie@secularyacking.com.
.com.
Good one.
Good one, yes. All right, then I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
You can Twitter me at, the Motto Guy, or you can Facebook me at the Motto Guy. That's mm-hmm. pretty cool. You can reach me by email, robert@secularyacking.com. That's nice and easy.
Yep.
All right. That's all we got. So,
yeah.
Goodbye, people of the internet.